You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
All right, good morning, church. How you doing this morning? Everybody doing good? So good to be with you. Hey, let's welcome our online church family that's joining us online. We love you guys. Come on, you can do better than that. Help me welcome these guys. We're one church, in person, online. We're together. We're thinking of you. We're so good to be with you this morning. Hey, I want to take a moment to welcome all of our first-time guests. I know we have some first-time guests with us in person as well as online. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. Welcome. We're so glad you're with us. Well, what a week we've had. Come on, just catch your breath. You made it to church. We're all alive. We're here. Yes. Okay, good. We're going to take a moment to pray for our nation. We said last week that whoever won the election, we were going to pray for our new president. We did that 4 years ago. And so we're going to do that today. We're going to pray for our president-elect, Joe Biden, and our new vice president, Kamala Harris. We're going to pray for our nation, that God would do what only he can do in our nation, that he would bring healing and unity. We're going to pray for the church. Come on, how many of you know that? A divided nation needs a united church. So we're going to step up and be the people of God. We're going to just pray for the church to rise up. So come on, let's just take a moment to pray. We did this 4 years ago, and I know some of you are disappointed. Some of you are excited, but we're going to pray. We're called to pray for our leaders and pray for our nation. So let's do that. Father, we thank you that we're blessed to live in this wonderful nation, that we have the opportunity to vote in this democracy, to let our voices be heard. And Lord, we know some people are disappointed, some people are excited, but Lord, we know that we're called to pray for our leaders, and so we do that today. We pray for our president-elect, for Joe Biden. We pray for our new vice president-to-be, Kamala Harris. God, we pray that you would give them wisdom, guidance, that you would surround them with just the right people, that you would steer their hearts, Father. And we pray you bless them. God, we pray for a peaceful transition over these next few months. We pray for President Trump and his family and his administration, the people around him, that you give them wisdom and you guide them as we make this transition. Father, we pray for our nation. God, we thank you that our hope is in you. Lord, that we look to you, that our trust is in you, as we declared today, God, that our hope is in you. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And we lift up the name of Jesus today over our nation. We pray that you would bring unity, that you would bring healing. And Father, we pray that the church would rise up, that we would be your people, that you would use us like never before. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. And I want to encourage you, be praying for our nation. Over these next few weeks and months, be praying for our nation. Our nation needs revival. Our nation needs a move of God. Our nation needs the church to be the church. And so that's where we look to, amen? We look to God to be our hope today. And so we've all spent the past few weeks and months, especially these past few days, like wondering who's going to be the president, right? Like, who knew it could take the state of Nevada so long to count? Like, the state that's known for gambling. You guys should be good at this counting thing. So we've been waiting all week, right? And it's been a week of waiting and kind of being focused on who's going to get the job. Who's going to get the big job? Who's going to be elected? But today, now that we know who's going to be president, I know there's some litigation that's still probably going to happen, but now that we have a really good idea of who's going to be our next president, I want to flip the script a little bit, and I want to talk to you about your calling. I want to talk to you about your job. I want to talk to you about your election in Christ. Do you know that the scripture actually uses that language, that we've been elected in Christ? The saints of God, the people of God are known as the elect in Christ, the chosen in Christ. So congratulations, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been elected. And so I want to talk to you. We've had so much focus on what's going to happen in the White House, and rightfully so. It's a big year, a big election. But now I want to shift the conversation a little bit, and let's look at our calling, who we're called to be. Now, we started out this series. We started out the series that we're in called Kingdom Citizen, talking about how our citizenship is in heaven. In week one, we looked at Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and the scripture says, but our citizenship is in New York. Nope. But our citizenship is in the United States of America? Nope. But our citizenship is in heaven. And so today we're going to add to that. I want to add another layer to this, because not only if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, not only are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you're also an ambassador for Christ. You're an ambassador for Christ. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul says. Look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. The Apostle Paul writes this to the Corinthian church. God, has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In other words, the gospel, that we can be reconciled to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We can be reconciled to our fellow man, fellow woman, people beside us. We are reconciled through the work of Christ. Then look at verse 20. Read this out loud with me. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We've been given this ministry, this gospel ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's who you are. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you represent Christ. Now, here in New York, especially in New York City, we have many consulates from different countries. Maybe some of you, you know, you work in the city. When you go to the city and you walk the streets of the city, you'll see the consulate of some foreign country, because New York is the leading business center of our country, certainly one of the important financial capitals in the world, right? And so we have some consulates here. But where are the embassies located? In Washington, D.C., right? Because that's where the ambassadors live, because they are the highest ranking diplomats that represent a nation. That's what an ambassador is. An ambassador is the highest ranking diplomat sent as a representative from one nation to another. And so here's what I want you to know today. Here's the big idea. You are an ambassador, a representative sent by God from heaven to earth. That's who you are. You're not just a Christian. You're not just a person of faith. You're not just someone who comes to church. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and maybe we have some people here today who are still trying to figure out faith. Maybe somebody shared this broadcast with you online and you're not quite sure what you believe. That's cool. You can just listen in. But if you call yourself a Christian, if you've placed your faith in Christ, you're an ambassador. You're a representative. You're sent by God from heaven to earth. You represent the kingdom of God. You carry the presence of God with you. You have an important role. You have a special job. You've been elected. You're an ambassador. Come on, turn to somebody and preach to them and tell them you're an ambassador. Just tell them through that mask. Type it in the comments online, in the chat. Tell somebody you're an ambassador. So I want to give you three thoughts today about your mission as an ambassador. I want to invite you to take some notes. Get your phone out. If you have the Redemption app, there's a spot where you can take notes there or use whatever you want. But let me give you some thoughts around this idea of our calling, of our mission to be an ambassador for Christ. Here's the first idea. As an ambassador of God, as an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven, number one, you are chosen and appointed by God. You're chosen and you're appointed by God. Let that sink in today. You're chosen. Look at the scripture, John chapter 15, verse 16. This is what Jesus said to his disciples, and this applies to us as well. Here's what he said. He said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." This is what Jesus said about us. Like, you didn't choose me. Oh, yeah, you know, maybe you responded to placing your faith in me, but the truth is I drew you to myself. I chose you before you ever chose me. I chose you first, and I appointed you. I gave you a mission that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You've been chosen. You've been appointed. Now, what does this mean, to bear fruit? God's chosen us to bear fruit. Are we going into agriculture? Like, what's going on here? This means I've appointed you to do the work of the kingdom. I love this idea of bearing fruit because it's a word picture, because we know that fruit is a product. It is produce of growth, right? Like, your Christian life, your life in Christ should produce something. It should look like something. It's not enough just to believe and have an invisible faith. The Apostle James said, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. So your prayers and your service and your love and your compassion and your generosity and your forgiving spirit, like, all of these things are evidence. They're fruit that you've been called by Jesus Christ. You're called to bear fruit. Look at this first part. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." Come on, get this in your spirit today, church. I'm here to build you up today. Like, you've been called by God. Like, the God of all creation, Almighty God, gave his son for you. Like, you're called. There's purpose over your life. Come on, some of you came in here barely limping in here today. It took you a couple cups of coffee. Like, you barely made it to church today, came in here. And I've got good news for you. I'm here to tell you, like, you came, you're here for a reason, because there's great purpose over your life. You've been chosen by God. And isn't it wonderful to experience the joy of being chosen. Come on, anybody ever been chosen for anything? Anybody ever been picked up for to, you know, be on a team or sit at the cool kids table? Come on, it's wonderful to be chosen, isn't it? Some of you college graduates, you remember being accepted to the college that you wanted to get into, and you got that acceptance letter. We got some young people, maybe in person, online. You're applying for colleges, and don't you want to get selected and chosen? Some of you remember getting your very first job, or maybe landing your dream job, or getting that promotion at work that you had interviewed for, that you had put in for, right? Remember the joy of being chosen. Some of you remember when somebody asked you out on a date, didn't you feel so special? Come on, you modern day people, somebody found your profile, they swiped right on you, and they gave you a chance. Some of y'all have been out of the dating game for way too long. I have myself, but I hear from the young people these days that there's a whole swipe right thing. Google it, I'm just saying. It's a real thing. But we know this experience, this joy of being chosen, but we also know the opposite experience, don't we? We also know what it is to be rejected. Many of you can think of a time when you didn't get chosen to sit with the cool kids at the cool table. Some of you know what it's like to not get into the college you wanted to get into, or not get that dream job that you applied for, or that promotion. Some of you know what it's like to be heartbroken in the romantic department. You've been there. You've been hurt. It's funny how these things are so fresh, they come back to us. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about when I was 16 years old, my junior year of high school. And I remember the fall of my junior year of high school, I had my eyes on this girl named Eileen. And it was the beginning of the year, like I was like, I'm going after this girl. I asked her out to the back to school dance right at the beginning of the year. And she said yes, and she wore a white dress and she smelled like vanilla, and we danced the night away. And I'm telling you, I was like head over heels for this girl named Eileen. And then for our second date, we were meeting up at a high school football game, and I was so excited to see her. And when I got there, she said, I don't really know how to tell you this, but I really just want to be friends. Like, do anything, but don't put me in the friend zone, right? Come on, guys. Don't put me in the friend zone. Like, it hurt. It's like, could you have told me this before I showed up for this date and got my hopes up? I mean, it hurt. And I played it all tough. I'm like, it's cool. And I told all my guy friends, come on, let's go. I played like I was tough, but I got home that night, and I put on that song, End of the Road by Boyz II Men. You know, although we've come, you know, to the end of the road. One of the best R&B songs ever. And I cried my little eyes out because it was the end of the road for me because she kicked me out. It hurt, man. But isn't it funny, right? Like how fresh those things are that they come back to us years later. I'm thinking about when I was 16 years old. We've experienced the thrill of being chosen and the pain of being rejected. But I want you to get this in your heart. I want you to get this in your spirit. I want you to get this in your mind today. I came to church to tell you this morning, you have been chosen by Almighty God. You've been chosen by Jesus Christ himself. There's great purpose. There's great worth. There's great dignity over your life. You've been chosen and appointed by God. But sometimes we kind of know that here. We know that we're chosen here, but sometimes we act more like we've been elected by other people. We say, oh, that's wonderful. I've been chosen by God. But sometimes we act like we've been elected by other people, because when you're elected, what do? You begin to pay attention to opinion polls. Come on, is this fresh for anybody right now in this election cycle? What do politicians do? Because they've been elected, they have to pay attention to opinion polls. We end up acting like we've been elected by people, and so we pay attention to everybody's opinion about us. And then we start being worried about our approval ratings, and we start caring about the approval of people instead of the approval of God. And I just came to church to tell you this morning, you are not who anybody else says you are. You might not even be who you think you are. You are who God says you are. Come on, you're called, you're chosen. And we have so many ways of disqualifying ourselves. We have so many ways of yeah, Pastor, I hear you saying I'm calling, but we let what people said about us determine our potential. And we're marked so much by the pain of rejection at times. And sometimes we have voices in our minds, even our own voices, that are telling us we'll never measure up. And we hear a message about being called, but the enemy wants to condemn us and remind us of our failures and our sin. And it's very real to us at times. And we have so many ways of disqualifying ourselves. But I want you to know, you are who God says you are. You're an ambassador of the Most High God with divine power to make a difference in this world, marked by the Holy Spirit, with the call of God on your life. That's who you are. That's who you are. Giving you some thoughts here about what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. I hope you're taking notes. Here's the second one. Number two, you're not just an ordinary person. You have a calling. Not only have you been chosen and appointed by God, but you're not just an ordinary person. You're not just somebody who goes to church. You're not just a Christian. You're somebody, you have a calling on your life if you're a follower of Christ. Look at what the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, like you belong to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I love those words. I love that description. One of my favorite scriptures, like you're chosen. You're a royal priesthood. Like you belong to God, that your life may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This is what God has always wanted, a people in this world to represent himself. This is what the Old Testament was about, the children of Israel. God always wanted a people to represent him in this world. This is what the New Testament church is about. God always wanted a group of people in this world who would carry his presence in this world, represent his purposes. This is what the church is all about. And so you're not just an ordinary person. You're not just somebody who got up and came to church and came coasting in and barely made it here today, barely made it online today, and just kind of, you know, barely being a Christian because you make it to church every now and then. No, no, no. There's nothing ordinary about you. You are called to be a royal priest of God, a royal priesthood. Now, I know for some of y'all, like Pastor Jeremy, stop the bus, because when you hear that word priest, that's like really like, that's different for you, because what you have in mind is the picture on the screen there, right? Like priests are guys who wear robes and pray a certain way, you know, and don't they chant or something like, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like prayers, you know, priests are like, they're different. Like they pray all day. They're in this different holy category. I could never be anything like that. I understand. How many of you remember the name Martin Luther from history class? Not Martin Luther King, as in the civil rights leader, but Martin Luther, as in the father of the Protestant Reformation. Like the Lutheran Church is named for Martin Luther. Last Saturday, which was Halloween, was also the 503rd anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, which sparked the Protestant Reformation. I've actually been there and seen that very door. What happened is Martin Luther was a monk in the Catholic Church, and at his time, the church had become very corrupt. The church was selling indulgences and teaching all kinds of superstitions, and it had drifted from the truth of salvation in Christ alone. And Martin Luther had a conviction, and he went and he nailed these theses protesting the doctrines of the church, and it sparked a debate. It sparked the Protestant Reformation, which reformed the church and changed history, and here we are today. And one of Luther's greatest reforms, was to emphasize the truth of the priesthood of all believers. He recovered this truth, the same truth that we're reading about right here in 1 Peter chapter 2, of the priesthood of all believers. In other words, the essence of Christian living is serving God in any useful calling. That every Christian has a calling on their life. Just because you're not an ordained priest or pastor in the church doesn't mean you're not a priest in the kingdom of God. Like every Christian has a calling. Every Christian has a calling. There's no ranking for those who can make a difference for God. You don't have to be ordained by men to do the work of God. Now, let me say that again, because somebody came to church this morning, somebody tuned in online, and you need to hear that. You don't have to be ordained by men to do the work of God. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You belong to God. Now, what does it mean to be a priest? Let me give you a simple definition that I think you can relate to better than the robes, okay? Here's what it means to be a priest. It means you're called to be a spiritual influencer. Come on, put that in your notes today. You're called to be a spiritual influencer, somebody who uses your influence. You're a spiritual influencer. But oh, I'm not a pastor like you, Pastor Jeremy. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. Your prayers are just as powerful as mine. Oh, Pastor Jeremy, I didn't go to seminary like you and study the Bible. Listen to me. You got the same Holy Spirit as I have. Come on, when you pray, the same Holy Spirit is present in you as is present in me. In fact, the scripture says that it's my job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, because there are some who are called, that God specifically calls to full-time vocational ministry to serve the church full-time. I might be in that category, but do you know what the scripture actually says in Ephesians 4? It's my job to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. But oh, Pastor Jeremy, we pay your salary to do the ministry. No. My job is to build you up, disciple you, preach the word of God to you, pray for you, encourage you, so that you step into your God-given calling, you step into your abilities and the gifts that God has has placed on your life and you use them. That's my job. And so that's why I invite you to Growth Track today. That's what Growth Track's about. If you heard about our Growth Track sessions, we actually get you in that class and we help you get acclimated to our church. And then in session two, we talk all about your gifts and how God wired you and the passions he placed on the inside of you. Why? Because we want to help you do what God has called you to do. We want to come alongside of you as a church. We want to see you thriving, using your gifts, stepping into your purpose. So consider that your invite to join us after service today. Can I just give you another example of what this looks like? If you're in a life group, and many of our people here, you're in a life group. We have groups of people that meet online during the week and a few in person, but more online these days. Do you know if somebody in your group is struggling and they're going through a difficult time and you pray for them, do you know that you're doing the work of the ministry? Do you know that in a sense you're pastoring them? Welcome to the ministry. If you're praying for them, God's using you. You're being a royal priest. You know, we have people in our church who bring meals to people. Who are sick or just had a baby or something like. How many of you know that you didn't have to go to seminary and get a Master of Divinity to deliver meals to people? But that's doing the work of the ministry. That's being a priest. That's being a pastor. I'm trying to help you get this because, see, I love seeing people step into this. I love seeing people begin to serve and beginning to see how God can use their life because you're not just an ordinary person. There's a calling on your life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're called to be a priest to carry his presence. You're a spiritual influencer, and you carry the presence of God with you wherever you go. Oh, Pastor Jeremy, you don't understand. I'm just an ordinary person. No, there's nothing ordinary about you. No, Pastor Jeremy, you don't get it. I'm just a teacher. No. You're not just a teacher. You're God's representative. He puts you in that classroom so you could share the love of Jesus with those kids because they need to see Jesus in you every day. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just a nurse. No, you're not just a nurse. God puts you in that hospital. He puts you on that floor so that you could pray for people under your breath all day long while you're doing everything you have to do. He put you there because you are his representative. Oh, Pastor Jeremy, I'm just a business person doing business deals, making money during the week. No, you're not. You're God's representative in the marketplace because there are people around you who need to see the Jesus in you. You are God's representative. There's nothing ordinary about you. You're called of God. You're called of God. You got to get this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, there's a calling on your life. There's a calling on your life. Here's the third thing. We're talking about what it means to be an ambassador, what it means to be an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And here's the third idea. As Christ's ambassador, you always represent Christ. You always represent Christ. You don't represent yourself. You represent Christ as a higher purpose in your life. Here's what the Apostle Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Notice what it says. If someone asks you about your hope, it doesn't say be ready to judge them, yell at them, shout at them, tell them they're going to hell, scream really loud on Facebook. Nope, not what it says. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. I love this picture here. Like you always represent Christ. Be ready to give an explanation, right? To share the hope that you have. As a representative of Christ, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be ready to share the hope that we have in Christ. And, you know, when I was growing up in church, this always felt really heavy. Some of you grew up in the same kind of church as me. Like, you got to be a witness for Jesus, you know? And there was this pressure on you. Like, you had to have all the right answers. You had to say the right stuff. If they argued with you, you had to know it all, you know? And so you were supposed to argue with people and win them over to Jesus by fighting and yelling at them. How'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? You know, I kind of grew up in that. You know, this all this pressure. And here's the truth. No, I love what Peter says here. He says, no, just be ready if someone asks you about the hope that you have as a believer. You know what I've discovered? I don't really have to preach at anybody. In 6 years of being a church planter and arriving in Westchester, not knowing anybody and starting a church and meeting all these people and telling them about our church, you know what I've found? It's not my job to be the Holy Spirit. Can I just take some pressure off of you? Like, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit and you are you. And it's not your job to be the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can open somebody's heart. You know what I've learned, church online? I've learned that I don't have to open anybody's heart. That's the Holy Spirit's job. What I have to do is be ready to share the hope that I have. Oh, you're such a nice person. Well, you know, the truth is, you should have known me before I knew Jesus. It's really all about him. Oh, you're such a forgiving and gracious person. Oh, yeah, but for the grace of God. Come on, just tell your story. Just tell your story. Just point people to Jesus. You don't have to preach to them. You just share the hope that you have in Christ. Doesn't that sound a lot better than preaching at people? You're not called to be like that guy in the subway yelling at people with a bullhorn. Anybody see that guy on your commute every now and then? Yeah, that's not a really effective witness, right? When's the last time somebody dropped to their knees? Thank you, bullhorn guy, for yelling at me. I think I'll place my faith in Jesus. Just be ready to share the hope that you have. But don't just stop there. Don't just be concerned about your words. Live it out. Be concerned about your life. Look at what the rest of the scripture says. Then if people speak against you, even people who come at you, even people who don't like you, even people who have it all wrong about what it means to be a Christian and they judge you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you're a wonderful person. Nope. They'll be ashamed because you go to Redemption Community Church, which is an awesome church. Nope. They'll see what a good life you live because you belong to Jesus Christ, because you belong to Christ. So don't just concern yourself with right things. Live a good life because of the grace of Jesus Christ that's on your life so that people notice. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our actions actually matched our words? Because the reality is people are watching the way we live. You know, words are cheap. It's wonderful. You can tell people you're a Christian, but people are watching the way we live. Wouldn't it be amazing if your actions actually matched your beliefs? Like, you're such a person of integrity. As such a person of honesty, like in the workplace, doing business deals, the way you treat other employees, if you're a supervisor, the way you manage people, the way you treat people, the way you get along with your annoying neighbor who blows their leaves onto your lawn. Can I get an amen? Jesus, help somebody in here today. How you treat that person, how you're forgiving, right? People are not just watching what you have to say. They're watching your words. And can I just tell you, one of the things that's grieved me in recent years, especially as things have gotten so bad and our nation's gotten so divided in recent years, is the way that so many Christians behave, like on social media. And I'm not speaking of anybody particularly in our church, because honestly, you guys have been pretty good this election cycle. I think most of y'all listened to the preaching, you behaved yourselves. I think you knew that we were going to show up and rebuke you if you posted something that embarrassed us here at Redemption. Just kidding, new people, we don't do that. If you've been here long enough, we might do that to you, but new people, you get grace. Anyway, here's my point. I've been so grieved in recent years of people, Christians, who, in being so convinced that they're so right about everything, have yelled and screamed and been bitter and sounded just about as angry and as hateful as the non-believing world. Like, I really can't tell the difference about you except that you're just armed with religion. And in doing so, they tarnished their witness. Like, there are people who really, they might be the only Christian they know. And so they think that's what every Christian is like. And it's grieved me because I've had this sense, like, post anything, but don't post that and tell people you're a Christian. And I'm not saying you can't be passionate. I'm not saying you can't have an opinion. But there's a certain way of having a grace about you, right? A grace about you so that when people see the good life that you live, the gracious words that come out of you and how it matches your life, that they're even put to shame by the Holy Spirit, that there's actually a conviction in them that they see how good you live. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's let the Holy Spirit do that. Let's let the Holy Spirit do the convicting, and let's resign from us having to do that. Come on, you always represent Christ. You belong to Christ. You're not just a regular Christian, not just a church attender, not just a church member. There's nothing regular about you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 through 20. Look at it again. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. I love this picture. It's as if God is literally making his appeal through us to people. So every time you serve, every time you love, every time you give, every time you pray for someone, every time you step up to meet a need, every time you forgive, every time you're a person of compassion, every time you're a person of generosity, it's as if God is making his appeal directly through you. And you know what else this tells me? If we don't do it, some people miss out. If we don't do it, some people miss out because God is wanting to appeal through us. You are an ambassador of Christ. Nothing ordinary about you. You're called. You're gifted. And I want to tell you today, you're needed. I came to church today to sound the alarm and tell you, like, you're needed. For some of you who haven't served on your team in a while, we want you to know, we don't just need you back at church. We need you serving. We need some people loving on some kids and some people doing a setup and breakdown and helping greet people. Like, there's a need. There's a need. Like, this church, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. We planted this church to reach unchurched people, to give people a place to find Jesus Christ. It's all hands on deck. I came to church this morning to sound the alarm. Because the alarm is going off and we've been pressing snooze. We've been pressing snooze. We've been saying we want to just get through 2020 like everybody else. If we could just get through this terrible year. And God has given us an opportunity to be the church like never before. There are some of you, you're watching online and maybe you do have someone, that a loved one that you're taking care of who's sick, or maybe, you know, you are at risk. But there are some of you, it's time to come back. And we don't just need you here to get your butt in the seat. We need you back because there's a calling on your life. This purpose over your life. You were serving before. God was using you. You knew what it was to be used of God, and I'm calling you back to it today. I'm calling you back to it today, church. It's a calling on your life. I want something for you. I don't just want something from you. And can I tell you that this is something God's been doing in my heart first as your pastor? God's been speaking this to me because, you know, it's been a rough year to be a pastor. Pastoring through a global pandemic. And there's times when I stop and think, Lord, you know, before all this hit, our church was growing and, you know, 300 or 400 people on a good Sunday in the biggest theater over at the AMC. And God, you took us from nothing and you did all of that in 5.5 years. I'm human. Every now and then I can say, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for how hard this year is, leading through global pandemic and division in our nation this year and racial injustice and all of this. I didn't sign up for this. And there's been these moments of God saying, I know you didn't sign up for this. I called you to this. I called you to this. Come on, I'm here because God called me. I'm here because God called me. I didn't plant a church because it was easy. I didn't move my family to New York, to Westchester, because it was easy. I planted this church because I said yes to Jesus. And God's been taking me back to my Bible college days when I used to just sit in chapel and we used to sing this song, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Some of you may have sang that song back in the day. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. We used to sing that song. And I would sit in chapel knowing that I had the call of God on my life and not sure what to do about it, not knowing where I fit in or what the next step was, but I just kept saying yes to Jesus. Jesus, I give you my yes. And God's been taking me back to the place where all I wanted to do was give my whole life to him. Well, all I wanted to do is say, God, if you can use anything, God, you can use me. I don't know what that means for my life. I don't know what the future holds, but you can use me, God. And so that's our prayer today. I really believe the Holy Spirit's tugging on some hearts today. And I want to invite you, it just starts with saying yes to Jesus. I didn't have it figured out when I was 19, 20 years old, sitting in chapel in Bible college, but I just kept saying yes to Jesus. Kept saying yes to Jesus. Come on, you're called. There's a great purpose over your life. Great purpose over your life. You're not just ordinary. You're not just a regular person. You're chosen by God. You always represent Christ, and there's a calling over your life. Would you stand with me this morning? And I want to invite you just to pray with me as we bow our heads. And maybe some of you, if you're comfortable, just want to lift your hands as a sign of saying, Jesus, I give you my yes today. Maybe online as you're watching, wherever you're watching, around you, even in your own living room, just want to lift your hands. In your kitchen making lunch, just want to lift your hands. Jesus, I give you my yes today. Lord, we thank you that you've called us. God, we thank you that there's nothing ordinary about us, but because we're your people, not because of anything we did, but God, because of your great grace, because of your love, because of your mercy, Jesus, you chose us. You gave yourself for us. And we thank you that today, God, there is great purpose over our lives. Great purpose over every person here. There's a calling on our lives. There's a gift that you've placed inside of us. There's a purpose. You want to use us to advance your kingdom. And Lord, today we say, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Come on, somebody pray that prayer. Jesus, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Use me to reach somebody. Use me to love somebody. Use me, Lord, make your appeal through me. I give you my yes today. And Father, I pray for the person who feels far away from you today, the person who would say, Lord, I want to know you that way, but I feel so far away from you, so lost in my sins today, and there's something tugging on your heart. We believe that's the gentle tug of the Holy Spirit, the tug of a loving God who is drawing you to himself today by his Spirit. And today is your day to say yes to Jesus. Jesus, I place my faith in you. Come on, if that's you, in person, online, pray it with me under your breath. Jesus, I give you my yes. I place my faith in you. I turn from my sins. I give my life to you today. I trust in you. I believe you are who you said you are, the Son of God, that you live for me, that you died for me, and you rose again for me. And I give you my yes today. Father, bless every person who prayed that prayer today. May your spirit testify to their spirit that they're born again, never the same. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody ought to bless the name of the Lord this morning. Come on, put your hands together. Lift your voice. Let's sing this final song together.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.